Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. Our program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Every day, we bring you news and information about America and the world. This is what you will hear on our program. Listen for our weekly health and lifestyle report. On our Making of a Nation series, you will hear more about the American West. Phil Dierking tells us about Haitians in America. But first, this story from Jonathan Evans.
Solar and wind power projects are increasing in the area around the Mekong River in Southeast Asia. One energy expert said that the developments call into question the financial viability of major hydroelectric dams in the area. Brian Eiler is director of the Stimson Center's Southeast Asia program. He spoke about the increase in solar power development at the third Mekong River Commission Summit in Cambodia's Siem Reap province. He said in the last 6 months, Cambodia, Vietnam, Thailand, and Laos have signed agreements to produce 6,000 megawatts of electricity from wind and solar. Eiler said, in January 2017, my team visited with Cambodia's energy plant, making the suggestion of incorporating more solar and wind into the power development plan. That was basically off the table in January 2017. He said that Cambodia has reorganized its energy industry in about a year. The country has planned to deploy solar power production. Hyung Jung Lee is a senior energy economist at the Asian Development Bank. She said technologies such as wind and solar were going to hit the region very significantly. Lee said the atmosphere in the region has been changed actually in the past 1 year even. So we see a lot of development can happen in solar and wind in the region and how it can happen actually in reality, not to repeat the experience of hydro. A council study of the Mekong River Commission warned of problems if too many hydropower dams are built on the river. The study warned of catastrophic results to the health of the river system if all the projects were built. 11 dams are planned on the main river, while more than 100 hydropower dams have been proposed to be built on tributary rivers. In addition, the International Renewable Energy Agency said that the cost of solar power had fallen by 73% from 2010 to 2017. The cost is expected to fall below that of hydropower by 2020. The world's solar power capacity grew 32%. 94 gigawatts were added in 2017. Renewable energy and solar power grew faster in Asia than anywhere else in the world. At the same time, the amount of hydropower that has been commissioned around the world is the lowest it has been in 10 years. Jake Brunner is a program coordinator for the International Union for Conservation of Nature. He said solar power makes economic sense in Cambodia. Land in Cambodia has not been costly while energy demand has been high in neighboring southern Vietnam. But land is a sensitive issue in Cambodia. A Cambodian human rights group says that more than 500,000 people in the country have been affected by land conflicts. A Cambodian government study described a way to produce solar power without using land. It recommended that instead of building the proposed Sambor Dam on the Mekong River, solar cells be placed on the existing reservoir there. Gregory Thomas is an executive director of the Natural Heritage Institute. He told the people attending the third Mekong River summit that it was possible to develop solar energy without using any land. He said placing solar energy equipment on the water in a reservoir solves the problem of land conflict. He said such a project could be completed quickly at low cost. Thomas said, "Such a project could be cost competitive and go online much quicker than a hydropower dam with 100 megawatts deployable in a year." Large solar energy projects are being developed around the world. In China, a 150 megawatt solar project is being built on a lake. The lake used to be a deserted coal mine. It is expected to go into operation in May and provide power for about 15,000 homes. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Haitians are worried about changes taking place in the Little Haiti area of Miami, Florida. Little Haiti is considered the cultural heart of the Haitian diaspora in the United States. Many Haitians fled their homeland and sailed to the U.S. mainland in the 1980s. Some of them established the Little Haiti neighborhood in Florida's largest city. Today, the energetic neighborhood is filled with Haitian-owned businesses, including restaurants and stores selling works of art. On Saturdays, music from Haiti and other Caribbean countries fills the air outside Little Haiti's Caribbean marketplace. People buy and enjoy tasty treats from local eateries. Farther down the sidewalk, a group of girls and women in traditional Creole clothing work on dance moves. Often there are artists busy creating paintings and performances by musicians. Today, many locals are concerned about efforts to expand and develop parts of the colorful neighborhood. They note how wealthy individuals seem to be buying up property and displacing poor people. They fear that this gentrification will lead to Haitian culture and people disappearing from the area. Because of gentrification, it's the only thing that we have, so we're trying to keep this going, said Hoppy Durisseau, who lives in Little Haiti. Born in Saint-Louis du Nord, Haiti, Durisseau immigrated to the United States at age 4. He is now involved with marketing for the Caribbean marketplace on social media. "We want to keep it busy all the time because if not, then we'll lose this place and we'll no longer have Little Haiti," he said. "Little Haiti is the only one in the world, so we need to keep this." To slow these changes, some Haitians hope to see the Caribbean marketplace operate 7 days a week. They believe this would help support the community economically. Over the years, the Little Haiti neighborhood has become popular with non-Haitians. Some land developers say the area is desirable because it sits on higher ground overlooking other parts of Miami. This makes the land less susceptible to flooding and rising sea levels. In 2016, rental prices on office space climbed as much as 50%. Many Haitian-owned businesses were forced to close because of the rising costs. A local woman named Mirland sells food at the Caribbean marketplace. She told VOA she is among the Haitians directly affected by gentrification. "It's a dead zone. Nothing is going on. Haitians have pretty much left the neighborhood," she said. "I, myself, had a business in the neighborhood, and the rent went up so high that I was forced to leave. That is why we've lost almost all the Haitian-owned businesses in the community. That's why we are trying to have them open the Caribbean marketplace every day so we can have a place to call home." David C. Brown wrote a book called The History of Little Haiti, featuring its pioneers. He says the area is special because of the values and strength of the Haitians who moved there. "Those values that I see so clearly, that shone through in the Haitian spirit, are the values of family, education, and work ethic," he added. "Those are the three values that have helped to raise the bar of this immigrant community." The marketplace is home to many different vendors who each add their own personality to the neighborhood. Ro Michel sells T-shirts and other clothing with colorful printed images. Michel immigrated to the United States from Haiti at the age of 2 with his parents. He feels Haitians have the ability to survive anything. Michel shows this sense of pride through the clothes he sells. His products are called Vintage 1804. The name is based, in part, on the year Haitian slaves declared their independence from France and became the first free black nation in the Western Hemisphere. One of his T-shirts shows heroes of the war for independence, such as Jean-Jacques Dessalines, Toussaint Louverture, and Alexandre Pétion. Often there are artists painting for the public and live music concerts. Even with the difficulties of gentrification, Haitians like Mirland hope the marketplace can continue to provide support to the community. "Business today was not bad at all, but I just wish we could have the same amount of people every Saturday," Mirland said. "Although I didn't make a lot of money today, I'm satisfied, I'm happy." I'm Phil Dierking.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. A group of scientists in Israel are researching how to help paralyzed people walk again. They are using human stem cells to repair the spinal cords of mice. The results sound like a miracle. The researchers put human stem cells in mice with severed spinal cords. About 6 weeks after the surgery, some of the mice were able to walk. Shulamit Levenberg is a researcher at the Israel Institute of Technology. She explains how she and other researchers were able to create spinal cord recovery.
In this project, we managed to induce spinal cord regeneration following complete injury to the spinal cord. And this was to the extent where the animal that were totally paralyzed started to walk again and also regained sensory perception. And this was really amazing to see the animal starting to walk after 2-3 weeks.
The work involved more than simply inserting stem cells in the spinal cord. The research team also built a structure that provided an environment in which the stem cells could attach and grow into support cells. The spinal cord cannot repair itself. So, this engineered tissue supported neurons in the spinal cords of the mice. Daniel Offen is a professor at Tel Aviv University. He explains more fully.
We know that spinal cord cannot recover by itself. So what we try to do is to take stem cells, actually we took it from human, and transplant it inside the spinal cord.
Every year, between 250,000 and 500,000 people around the world suffer a spinal cord injury. Those numbers come from a 2013 report by the World Health Organization. People who suffer spinal cord injuries often receive therapy and different kinds of treatments. However, recovery is difficult and extremely rare. But Levenberg says she is hopeful that their research will one day be able to help humans. But, she adds, these are very early studies.
The hope is that we will be able to get similar results in humans, meaning that we'll be able to see regeneration and we'll be able to see some behavioral improvement. But of course, these are very early studies and we still don't know how it will work in humans.
Only about 40% of the mice that received the stem cell transplants were able to support weight on their back legs and walk. The researchers say their hope is that these kinds of stem cell transplants will one day be a part of every hospital's procedures. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Anna Mateo.
Next from VOA Learning English is our Making of a Nation series on American history.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The cattle industry started in Texas during the 1870s. With its growth came a new kind of worker, the man who watched and took care of the cattle. These men, who watched the cows and rode with them as they moved across the wild lands, were often young, just boys, and so they were called cowboys. Kay Gallant tells what life was like for the early American cowboy.
People all over the world have seen all sorts of films about the cowboy, and he is often shown in television shows. But the real life of the cowboy is not often shown. His work has been hard, and his life lonely and full of danger. The cowboy has told his own story in many songs and ballads. Hundreds of these have come from cowboys whose names are not known. They just sang these songs as they rode on the saddles of their horses across the cattle lands, or as they sat at their campfires at night. They sang about the things that were close to them, horses and cows and danger and death. Often they sang about the long ride to the cattle markets, where the cows were sold for beef, as in this song called Get Along Little Doggie. Doggie is another name for a young cow, especially one which wanders away from the herd. The song tells how the young cowboy keeps driving the doggies forward. He feels sorry for them because they will soon be sold for meat. But that's their hard luck, not his. And he keeps pushing them on while he sings.
Well, as I was a-walking one morning for pleasure, well, I spied a young cowboy a-riding along. Well, his hat was shoved back and his spurs was a-jingling, and as he was riding, he was singing this song. Oh, goodbye-yi-yo, get along, little doggies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Oh, goodbye-yi-yo, get along, little doggies, you know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. It's early in the springtime, we round up those doggies. We cut them out, brand them, and bob off the tails. Round up the horses, load up the chuck wagon, and then throw the doggies out on the north trail. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little doggies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little doggies, you know that Wyoming will be your new home. Well, your mother was raised way down in Texas, where the Jimson weed and those choyas grow. We'll fill you up on those prickly pear briars until you are ready for Idaho. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little doggies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little doggies, know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little doggies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little doggies, you know that Wyoming will be your new home.
One of the most famous of cowboy ballads is this one called The Chisholm Trail.
Put in the stirrup and my hand on the horn, I'm the best darn cowboy ever was born. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, I started up the trail October 23rd, started up the trail with the two you heard. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Up every morning, before daylight, and before I sleep, the moon shines bright. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yi. With a $10 horse and a $40 saddle, I'm going down to Texas for to punch them cattle. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, old Ben Bolt was a fine old boss, and he went to see his gal on a sore back horse. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. There's a stray in the herd, and the boss said kill it, so I shot him in the rump with the handle of a skillet. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. And I went to the boss to draw my roll, and he had me figured out $9 in the hole. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Roping and a-tying and a-branding all day, I'm a-working mighty hard for a mighty little pay. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, I went to the boss and we had a little chat, and I hit him in the face with my old slouch hat. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. With my foot in the stirrup and my hand on the horn, I'm the best dang cowboy ever was born. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, I'm gonna get married just as quick as I can, and I won't punch cattle for no darn man. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi.
Day and night, the horse was at the cowboy's side. A cowboy was as proud of his horse as he was of his skill in riding him. There is this feeling in the song, I Ride an Old Paint. a paint, or pinto, is a horse of three or more different colors.
I ride an old paint, lead an old Dan, going to Montana to throw the hooligan. Feed him in the coolies and water in the draw. Tails are all matted and their backs are all raw. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and a-raring to go. Old Bill Jones had two daughters and a song. One went to college and the other went wrong. His wife got killed in a free-for-all fight. Still he keeps singing from morning till night. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and a-raring to go. I've worked in your town, worked on your farm, and all I got to show is the muscle in my arm. Blisters on my feet and the callus on my hand. Going to Montana to throw the hooligan. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and raring to go. When I die, take my saddle from the wall, put it on my pony, lead him out of his stall. Tie my bones to his back, turn our faces to the west. We'll ride the prairie that we love the best. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and stuffy and a-raring to go. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and stuffy or a-raring to go.
The cattle herds were driven a very long way to the cattle markets and had to be kept and watched on the open trail for many weeks. And the trail took the cowboys over rough country in all kinds of weather. The wild prairie lands were not friendly to men or animals. It was a lonely land, and the howling of wolves and winds at night made it more so. Across this strange land, no man in the early days of the West knew just where death was waiting for him. A listener hears the mournful feeling cowboys had for the prairie in this song called The Dying Cowboy. He does not want to be buried out in these wild lands, in the lone prairie, as the song says. Still, the dying cowboy does not get his wish. There is no choice. He can be buried only in the lone prairie, in a narrow grave, 6 by 3, 6 feet deep and 3 feet wide.
Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. These words came low and mournfully from the pouted lips of a youth who lay on his dying bed at the close of day. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie where the coyote howls and the wind blows free in a narrow grave just 6 by 3. Bury me not on the lone prairie. It matters not, I've oft been told, where the body lies when the heart grows cold. Yet grant, oh grant this wish to me.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from America and around the world.